Let's get into what I want to talk about here. Deep inside of us, every one of us, there's something unattractive, and it has to be dealt with. This unattractive creature that he doesn't move too quickly, if at all, you know, and he hides under the bed covers. His name is Sluggard. We may not want to deal with this. We might not want to talk about this. Somehow he finds his native habitat deep within our souls. When the alarm clock sounds, he's quick to hit the snooze button. And when there's work to be done, he quietly finds a browser on the internet to open up. We hesitate to study the slugger, preferring to spare ourselves from this unseemly sight, but perhaps the only way to deal with him is to recognize what he's doing and to recognize that he's inside each one of us. Our text today in Proverbs 6, verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." So, I've never preached on this before, but I've always thought, you know, we're going through Proverbs and this is a big topic in the book of Proverbs. And so we want to talk about this sluggard. The sluggard, it says in Proverbs 21, "The sluggard's cravings will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long, he craves for more." So what is a sluggard? Have you heard the word before? Has anybody described you with that word? You describe somebody else with that word? Sluggard originates from the word slug. Do you see that coming? So it means slug-like. Sluggards are sluggish, which they're slow, they're unmotivated, no zeal, no passion, no vision. A slug moves 23 inches an hour. 23 inches an hour. And we're talking about sluggards, okay? And I'm just wondering if I talk about, you know, somebody who moves very slow, 23 inches an hour, does that describe anybody in your life? Like your spouse, your children, when you ask them to take out the trash, a coworker, is there a coworker that comes to mind? Oh, that's him, you know? Is that you? Is it you? The sluggards they're lazy, unproductive, and slugs are known to be slimy, right? Which means sneaky, underhanded, untrustworthy. They lie and cheat. They do anything to get out of work. Wherever they go, they leave a trail of slime behind them. That's what a slug does. And we're talking about sluggards here. Another thing I noticed, they have no backbone. I thought that was interesting. And another thing, I don't know if it's relevant or not, but I just feel like it's important to point out, they're nocturnal creatures. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I just felt like I had to say it. Okay, so I'm a morning person, so there you go. But consider a couple passages. First, consider the field of the sluggard. In Proverbs 24, verse 30, this is what it says. "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw." And I think this is what we got to do. We're looking at the sluggard, and there's a lesson to learn here. What is that lesson? What is it that we're supposed to learn from looking at the sluggard? It goes on, verse 33, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." This is a powerful text right here. And I think it's important that we notice here that the land, the field, produces something, whether the sluggard does anything or not. If the sluggard works the land, it's going to produce something. If the sluggard doesn't work the land, it's going to produce something. The sluggard, while he's sleeping, he was doing more for the cultivation of weeds and thorns and thistles than he could possibly do anything else. Just as a garden will either grow flowers or weeds or fruit or thistles, something good or something evil will come out of our lives. The thought here is doing nothing is not doing nothing. Doing nothing is actually doing something. Doing nothing is ruining our lives and the lives of the people around us when we do nothing. That doing nothing's not a good option. So I would ask you, what are you doing? What are you, the life that God has given you, the life that God has blessed you with, what are you doing with that life? What are you producing? And you think about, you know, your work life, you think about your home life, and I would also ask you to think about your Christian life, your church life, your spiritual life. What are you producing? Or what are you, it's not what are you not producing. If you're either producing fruit or you're producing thistles. You're producing something good or you're producing something evil. But you are producing, if you are alive, if you have breath, you are producing something. Charles Spurgeon, he preached a famous sermon on this text here, The Field of the Sluggard. And he says, our hearts and the sphere God gives us to occupy will be sure to produce something. If we do not produce a harvest of good wheat by laboring for Jesus Christ, we shall sow tares to be bound up in bundles for the last dread burning. So what are you producing? Look at the sluggard, and you look at the field of the sluggard, and it's full of thorns, it's full of thistles, the walls are torn down. You look at the field of the sluggard. Secondly, look at the sleep of the sluggard. That comes up over and over and over. In Proverbs 6, it says, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you. Sluggards, it seems, are addicted to sleep. Just kind of asking anybody here, is you got anything coming here? Proverbs talks a lot about this. Proverbs 19, verse 15, slothfulness cast into deep sleep. The idle person will be hungry. Over and over and over, Proverbs 19 indicates that laziness causes fatigue. It's not the consequences of it. Laziness causes us to be tired. Studies show that after a certain point, the more sleep you get, the more tired you get. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and have plenty. Love not sleep. Now, there's especially if you're a parent, there's a place for sleep, okay? If you're a parent of little children, sleep is good. Sleep is required. We have to sleep. We're designed to sleep. That's not the problem. It's when we it's when we live for sleep. It's when that's all we do is sleep, when we never want to get out of bed. Proverbs 26, verse 14 says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. You just turn over, hit the snooze button again. You know, say, I need my beauty sleep. Well, it's not, it doesn't make you beautiful. It makes you ugly. And it makes you poor. It's what it's telling us here. Sleeping is not a bad thing. Sleeping at the wrong time is a bad thing. And for many of us, it's just a bad habit. And I would just ask you, recognize it, deal with that. Wake up, get started, get to work, and do it for the glory of God. God's given us a short amount of time to live on this earth. Let's live it to the full. Give it all to God. Another thing I want you to consider here, consider the life of the sluggard. And verse after verse after verse just points out various things here. Proverbs 20, verse 4 talks about the wasted opportunities, bad time management, procrastination. What does it say? In Proverbs 20, verse 4, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. You know, when the opportunity is there, you waste it. You squander the opportunity. You say, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and you'll say, I'll do it the next day. And then I'll do it the next day. You never feel like it. You never feel like it. You got to discipline yourself to do what God has called you to do. Don't waste opportunities. Don't procrastinate. Another thing in Proverbs 12, verse 27, they don't finish what they start. The lazy man does not roast his game. I mean, he goes out and he gets his game, but he doesn't cook it. Which makes me ask us, are there a lot of unfinished projects in your life? Do you start things, but you don't finish them? That's not a good witness. Just say, you have lots of great ideas, but you don't follow through. You ever start on like a college degree, but you don't finish it? And I always want to take this back to our spiritual life. What in your spiritual life have you started, but you didn't finish? What is it that you said, I'm going to do this for the glory of God, and you never did it? It didn't happen. So are you starting things, not finishing? Just some bad habits that Proverbs is telling us about. Another bad habit I see here in Proverbs 20, verse 4, he makes excuses. He will not plow. Why? Why? Because it's cold, is what the King James Version says. Because it's too cold outside. Or it's too hot outside. Or it's too this, or it's too that. Whatever. I mean, you can make up excuses all day long. Another verse about this, Proverbs 26, verse 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. I can't do anything because it's dangerous outside. It's always going to be dangerous. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. If God has called you to do something, then do it. Don't be making excuses. It's not becoming to make excuses on why you're not doing what you have been called to do. Another thing I want you to understand about sluggards, which I think this one's obvious, it's very irritating to other people. Proverbs 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. You know, do you work with a sluggard? Do you work with this guy? You work with this guy? And here you're trying to get your job done. You're trying to do, and this person just pulls everybody down. This person just gets on your nerves because he's never doing the job. He's just standing around, never doing anything. Very irritating, right? I'm not telling you to necessarily recognize the sluggards around you. My main point of my message is don't be this guy. Don't be the sluggard. It's just a poor Christian witness. People find out that you're a Christian, that you go to Lanesville Christian Church, and this is your reputation. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. So don't be this guy. Another thing in Proverbs 13, it talks about how your life ends in poverty. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. Nothing. I mean, all these wasted opportunities, all these excuses. At the end of your life, you're not satisfied. At the end of your life, you get nothing. And not only does your life end in poverty, it ends in ruin, and it ruins the people around you once again. Proverbs 21, verse 25, the sluggard's cravings will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. He ruins himself, and he pulls down other people. Proverbs 18, verse 9, one who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. The lazy person is a master of destruction. The lazy person goes to work, complains about his boss, complains about the job, complains about this, and pulls the whole team down, ruins the team spirit, just weakens everybody. So a summary here of the sluggards. Solomon refers to these people as sluggards. They are people who have the ability to work, but they refuse to. They lack the drive. They lack the personal responsibility. They lack the common sense to provide for their needs. The love of sleep dominates their life. They always put things off until the last minute. Always late for everything, if they show up at all. They never finish anything they start. They make excuses for everything. All these issues come from being a sluggard. Don't be a sluggard. And Solomon tells us, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. There's something here about the ant that we need to learn. So stop talking about the sluggard. Let's start talking about the ant. Myrmecology. You know what that is? It's the study of ants. Bet you didn't see that coming, did you? So there are over 12,000 species of ants. 12,000 different ants. Different types of ants. Ants can lift up 20 times their body weight. That would be like me being able to lift 4,000 pounds, but I can't, okay? And I thought this is fascinating. Ants have two stomachs, one for storing up food for themselves and one for sharing with others later. Isn't that sweet? I think it's really sweet and disgusting. And ants build complex colonies up to 35 feet below ground and 500 times their height, complex structures with rooms and various activities. Every ant, this is the things you need to know here. Every ant has a job. Every ant knows its job. And every ant does its job. Consider the ant. Anybody here who's a sluggard? Be wise. Look at the ant. Learn from the ant. What is it that we can learn from the ant? They know their job. They're doing their job. The ants are the most industrious creatures on the earth. They aid in the decomposition and turn up more soil than earthworms. They aerate the soil and recycle nutrients. Ants increase crop yield by 36%. Did you know that? Everybody who's killing ants all the time, they increase crop yield. And get this, ants have also been essential in the production of coffee and chocolate. And we need chocolate. I don't care about coffee. What can we learn? What can we learn from the ant? And a couple things here, what I see, first of all, we should be self-motivated. Ants are self-motivated. Consider the ant, you slugger. Consider its ways. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, nobody cracking the whip telling it to get to work. No alarm clock waking it up. It just wakes up. It goes to work. It does what it's called to do. The ants do that by instinct. You and I need to do that with intention. I don't know why it is that God wired the ant where it just wakes up and does it. And why are we wired where we wake up and do that? That's our sinful nature. That's our flesh. And we've got to fight our flesh. We need to be intentional about doing the work that God has called us to do. Because it doesn't come naturally. There's not an instinct in me that just gets up and goes. It takes discipline. What ants do by design, we do by discipline. We need to be disciplined to do the work that God has called us to do. So ants are self-motivated. I'm asking you to be self-motivated. Is that a characteristic of you? And can you see that would be a beautiful characteristic of a Christian? Somebody who gets up and lives their life intentionally for the glory of God. Intentionally disciplined to live your life for the glory of God. Be that person. Be that Christian. Give your all to God. Love him with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Give him your all. Be passionate about your faith. That is what makes you beautiful, not sleep, okay? So ants are self-motivated. Ants are prepared. Get this in Proverbs 6, verse 8. It stores its provisions in summer. It gathers its food at harvest. Ants don't know the meaning of procrastination. That word's not in the vocabulary. They don't wait until the weather turns cold before they start preparing. And get this, they prepare for themselves, which you need to prepare things for yourself. That's the definition of being an adult, okay? But and not just yourself, they prepare for others, they prepare for their families. That is a good discipline for us to prepare for our families, the ones that we love, the ones who are close to us. It's just common sense. We take care of them because one day you're going to need them to take care of you. So until that day comes, you be the one who's taking care of them. And if we all took care of each other, what a great world this would be. So be self-motivated, be prepared. They prepare for themselves, they prepare for their families. They prepare for the future. This is huge. Are you prepared for the future? And when I say that, I really am not talking about your retirement account. I'm talking about your eternal destination. Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Do you realize you are an eternal being? God gave you a soul, and that soul will exist forever. Look at the ant. Look how the ant prepares. You need to learn that lesson. You need to prepare. Prepare for eternity. Another thing I noticed about ants, they're resilient. I really don't have a verse for that, but you ever like try to kill an anthill? And if one ant survives, what's he going to do? He's just going to make another anthill. You know, they're just going to go. They just keep going on and on and on, kind of like the Energizer Bunny. You can't stop them. You can't stop them. They're resilient, and they are productive. They're always building up the colony. No master, nobody overseeing them. It's just what they do. Build up the colony. You and I have been given life to build the kingdom of God. We should be productive. We should be actively building up the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not going to just happen when we go to sleep. No, if we don't wake up and be intentional, this world is going to be filled with thorns and thistles. But if we wake up and we do the work that God has called us to do, we can turn this world into something beautiful. Being the people of God, being the ambassadors of Christ that you and I are called to be, being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We need to be productive in kingdom business. We need to be productive with our witness. We need to be productive in our walk with the Lord, in our homes, in our churches. And I just want to ask you, is that happening? Is that in your life? In your life, are you truly living for God? And what does that look like? The ants, every ant has a different job. Your job's not going to be the same as my job. My job's not going to be the same as your job. What has God called you to do? What has he called you to do? And are you doing it? Let me throw in another verse here in Proverbs 30, verse 25. It says, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Now look at that and just think, you and I, Christians, we are Christians, creatures of little strength, broken vessels. But we should prepare for eternity. We should be self-motivated. We should be working together to build the kingdom of God and not let anything stop us. Proverbs is all about contrast. Most of it is contrasting the fool with the wise man. There's so much of that. You know, here, this is what the wise person does. This is what the fool does. Well, in today's study, what we're seeing here, there's another contrast between the person who's diligent and the person who's lazy. And that's a big subject in the book of Proverbs. There is the diligent person, there's the lazy person. And I'm just asking you to do some self-reflection here. Which one are you? Which one are you? And you realize if you're living the life of a sluggard, it's just laced with issues, problems, and it's ugly, and it ruins your witness, and it doesn't do anything for the glory of God. Look at a couple of these verses with me. In Proverbs 10, verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 12, verse 11, he who works his land will have abundant food. But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Is there anybody in here? Is that convicting? It should be convicting. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. You see what Solomon's saying here? You have a choice. You have a choice. Be a sluggard, be an ant. Be somebody who's diligent with the life that God has given you, or be somebody who squanders the life that God has given you. Diligence is hardworking. Diligence brings blessing. Diligence brings satisfaction. It's rewarding. But laziness, you contrast this with laziness. Laziness is what? Well, laziness is wasting time. How are you squandering your time? How are you wasting your time? How much time are you on the internet? How much time are you on TV or on video games or sleeping in bed? How much time are you squandering? Now, laziness is wasting time. Laziness brings curses. That's really the message of Proverbs. You see this over and over and over. Being lazy will bring curses, and it will bring poverty and hunger. A diligent person is industrious. A diligent person is persistent. A diligent person is self-motivated, has vigor, has passion, has a heart for God, has a heart for people. Diligence is an attitude that drives us to accomplish the mission successfully. We have a mission to do. And nobody should have to tell you what that mission is. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time at all, you understand you've been called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And reading the Bible with just reading a little bit, the mission is very, very clear. Are we being diligent about the mission? Are we doing it? Are you diligent? And are you diligent about the right things? I thought about this. A lot of people might look busy, but busy doing trivial things. Are you busy doing the right things? Are you busy doing good things? Are you busy doing godly things? The things that God has called you to do. When your friends look at you, when your coworkers look at you, do they get a good impression or a bad impression? Do you pursue projects with a positive attitude? Or do you whine and make excuses? You were created to work. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You and I have been created to do good works in Christ Jesus. Do good works in Christ Jesus. The fifth commandment about keeping the Sabbath is, 50% of it is about keeping the Sabbath. The other 50% of the commandment says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. So seventh day rest. Yes, there is a day to rest. There is a time to rest. And you need to take a Sabbath. But 6 days you are to work. And in our culture today, you know, we try to get that, you know, 5 days. And over in France, they got down to 4 days. You know, only work 4 days. And it keeps going. You know, work 1 day. If that, you know, maybe don't work at all. That's not biblical. That's not glorifying to God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. That's from Paul. Paul, and that was to Christians. These Christians who were just waiting around for Jesus to come back. You know, hey, Jesus is coming. Why do I need to paint my house? Why do I need to mow my yard? Why do I need to do anything? Jesus is coming back. And Paul says, get to work. You're created to work. Your witness is tied to your work. You were created to work diligently, and you were created to work with excellence. Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Stop doing crummy work. Proverbs 18, verse 9, the one who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. Now, I've said this already, the way you work is a testimony to the world. It's either going to bring glory to God or it's going to bring disgrace to God. The way you work. Yeah. I got two more verses here. Now I'll shut up here. In Proverbs 16, verse 26, it says, it's good for workers to have an appetite. An empty stomach drives them on. I'd like for you to just contemplate this verse a little bit here. It's good for workers to have an appetite. What are you hungry for? What is it that drives you? Is it food? I mean, I just want to eat tomorrow. Food's important to me. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Is it money? Money's important to a lot of people. Is it money that drives you? Is it to bring glory to God? Do you have an appetite to bring glory to God? To in a way, in an essence, not that we earn our salvation through works at all, but we work out of gratitude for God. All that he's done for me, I want to give back. I have an appetite to give back, to bring glory to God. Are you hungry to give back to God for all that he's given to you? Does that drive you at all? God expects us to work. He expects us to work hard. He expects us to work for the right reasons. A couple reasons I pointed to support our families. I think that's a noble reason. And to support God's work, to build his kingdom here on this earth, whatever that looks like, mission trips, VBS, cleaning the building, mowing the yard here at church, whatever, what does it mean to build his kingdom? He expects us to work hard at being a blessing to other people. So many people hurting around us. And God has gifted you and equipped you in such a way that you can bring blessings to that person if you don't sleep in, if you don't waste these opportunities, if you don't make excuses. I got a story here about Antonius Stradivarius. You know who that is? He makes violins, right? Made violins. And this is interesting. He says, this is God's music. I am doing it for God. That was his attitude in making these violins. He was doing them for God because they were making God's music. He was diligent in his work. That's why these Stradivarius violins bring in $16 million. Because there's worth, there's value because of his attitude, because of his passion, because he was doing it for the glory of God. Let me end with this verse. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. I want to read it. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. You know, ants are good at what they do. Sluggards aren't. You and I, as Christians, we need to be good at what we're doing. We need to do it with diligence. We need to do it for the glory of God. Self-motivated. Nobody needs to be cracking a whip. Let's live our lives for Jesus Christ.